Pittsburgh with the clock stopped and the incompletion breaks the huddle. They'll operate from the shotgun. Hokies crowding the line. Give it on a quick handoff. Hall slipped through one tackle, but the Hokies will stonewall him there. And the Hokies make an unbelievable goal line stand to hold up to the Flame. Final score, Tech 20 and Pittsburgh 14.
Coming up, Paulie and I will reveal the things that we are most thankful for in sports. That's in 10 minutes. That's John Lazor. Hokie fans thankful for that goal line stop. A dramatic, dramatic finish to last Saturday. And we bring on the voice of the Hokies right now. Brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case. What is the moment like as a play-by-play guy where you're trying to process the moment, describe the moment, and knowing it's either going to be a dramatic high or an agonizing low?
Well, I wish they would have rewound that highlight back a little bit further, not from your standpoint. That was the IMG cut there, because Mike Burnup, I think, summarized it perfectly right before that. My broadcast partner, for those that don't know, he said, at the conclusion of this play, somebody's heart is going to be broken. And then I went into breaks the huddle and all that thing. I think it's easier, though, Wes, in terms of relating the emotion when you actually have emotion yourself. You know, these are the guys that I live and work around, including the fan base in this community, and I think you could probably hear the desperation in my voice there, because, you know, so much was riding on that, and all the way through the post game that you and I did together, you have so much hanging in the balance. For us, not nearly as much, obviously, as Justin Fuente and Bud Foster and Brad Cornelison, and on the list goes. But at the same time, this for all of us is the life that we have chosen and where we've chosen to live and work, and the kids around which we have so much pride and all those things. So kind of natural theater in that moment, but, you know, it's scary. I said it a couple of times. In order to be storybook, it has to be scary, and that's the adrenaline that we all chase to some degree. We don't get it as much as a broadcaster than the players and coaches, but we do have those moments, and that's kind of what it was like on Saturday.
This was storybook for many reasons, but one of the reasons it was guys who were filling in, jumping into roles, backup positions. Now you transition that into this week, you got a lot of guys, key guys, dinged up. This win also masks another struggling day for the offense. Right now, how does Virginia Tech come into this rivalry game on a short week on Friday night?
Well, their fan base comes in a little bit nervous because of all the things that you just mentioned. And certainly you're into a situation where a lot of your twos have become your ones, and that has bled onto the defensive side after being pretty exclusively an offensive problem up until that Miami game. So, yeah, you're a little bit nervous about that. And the thing about the reserve guys on that last play there, that's just a tough play. Let's just man up and push some people around and try to get penetration, and they were able to do that. It's not an assignment-type play and a schematic-type thing, and that's how this team's going to be stressed by Virginia, because that air raid offense that Bronco has brought to Charlottesville has certainly been picking up some traction this year, and that means that you've got to play phenomenally the second two levels of the defense, which has been the strength of this Virginia Tech team, and I'm hopeful that it will be again on Saturday. But, you know, these are going to be need-to-know-your-key type things, need-to-know which receivers you're picking up and multiple receiver combinations and things such as that. So there's definitely some trepidation there, but, you know, you get then again on the other side, you have Bud Foster, and you feel like he's going to do what he needs to do throughout the course of this week to get those guys not only ready, but also to devise a scheme to shut down that attack. So a lot of intrigue, I think, from both sides going into this game, which is fun, which is what it's supposed to be about.
A lot of people go back to last week to the interception of Josh Jackson, which wasn't his point, and Justin Fuente pointed that out. I'm more on the efficiency here, and I'm on the efficiency and seeing Josh Jackson show frustration. He was aggravated. He was upset at himself. And the first time, probably all season, you saw him get mad. And Cam Phillips said to us postgame, I had to walk over and say, hey, man, chill. Have fun. This is a good time. How do you get Josh Jackson back in a groove this week?
Well, you try to figure out a way for him to hit one early. And that's what I liked about last week, was the fact that those plays worked. You know, the couple of weeks before that, Tech's offense had been pretty much bottled up. You didn't have plays to look back on and said we could have hit that. Maybe a couple in the running game, but nothing in the pass game. You saw a pop pass break open against Pittsburgh that Sean Savoy turned the wrong way on. You saw a go pattern that Phil Patterson, nice to see him back, by the way, gives you another speed element offensively, was wide open on and Josh missed. What I was concerned about was that seemed to fragile Josh, that missed pass down the field to Patterson, and he didn't recover all that quickly. But what I did like was that he did recover in the second half, and particularly in the third quarter. I thought he threw the football pretty well and effectively. And it's on everybody for this Tech team. You know, Justin Fuente tells me this week that it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what Josh Jackson plays like, if long as we are able to win. So what I have confidence in this week, Wes, is not necessarily that Josh Jackson's going to go light it up against Virginia. Not saying that he won't, but I'm confident in this coaching staff. I'm confident in their ability to manufacture some things against Virginia. And I'm also confident that while everybody else has seemed to be emptying the cupboard in trick plays, including Pittsburgh and even Miami twice on the first drive in a game that they ultimately physically won, you know, I think Tech has some of those things, not necessarily trick plays, but wrinkles in this offense that they haven't shown yet this year.
John Lazor with us, brought to you by Cow and Gates, Virginia Tech and UVA, who this year, it's clear, much improved team, sitting at 6-5 now. They've lost their last two to high caliber opponents, but what's one or two things most concern you about this, the way this Virginia team is playing?
Well, it's the vertical threats that their receivers give and the fact that Kurt Benkert's been hot. You know, even in a loss against Miami, he threw for nearly 400 yards and four touchdowns, did have a costly interception and a pick six, but he's also got weapons. Alamide Zaccheaus can certainly tax you in space. And then you also have Veroni, who's become such a phenomenal vertical threat for them, and Donnie Dowling as well. So they're going to take chances. And when you take chances down the field and you kind of play with reckless abandon like that, bad things can happen to a defense. And we've seen that. If there has been an Achilles heel for this Tech defense, it has been giving up those big plays. So you worry about the momentum that hitting one or two of those might create in a hostile environment on the road at Scott Stadium, even though we are expecting, of course, thousands of Hokies to be there per usual, as was the case the last time they were there as well. And on the other side, you know, you have to be scared of the level of competence and experience on the defensive side. You know, when you have Micah Kizer and you have Quinn Blanding and some of the people, Mac, that they've surrounded those two with now, you have to be concerned a little bit about this. I like the Hokies matchup, though, defensively against this Virginia offense. I really feel like they're going to be able to pressure Kurt Benkert, make him uncomfortable. Miami struggled to do that, which surprised me, which is a testament to Virginia's offensive front and some of the help they gave him in protection. But I think Bud Foster will be able to scheme through some of those things. But on the other side, I also like Virginia's defense in this matchup against Tech's offense. So I think it's going to be a close football game. And in a close football game, Wes, that scares you because, you know, for Tech, they always seem to be the team that has everything to lose in this matchup, having won it 13 consecutive times. And I think the pressure resides with them coming in.
Yeah, and on that note, you mentioned to start this out, you're around the guys. You see these guys every day. You talk to them. You know there's texts coming in from former players, from alums. There's that pressure, the abstract pressure that builds where it's, hey, man, don't be the class. Don't be the team that breaks the streak.
Yeah, well, actually being around the guys helps alleviate pressure. It's being around the fans that adds to the nervousness because, you know, there's always a certain pessimism and fear that this will be the year and we'll be the people that were there when the streak ended. The players don't think that way. You know, they just want to go out there and play, and they've been fine. They've been upbeat this week. And, again, that's kind of my therapeutic time during the day is I'll go hang out with Cam Phillips for a second, and if you need confidence, he'll usually give it to you.
On air, 6:30, Mr. Chill himself, John Lazor, Mike Burnup. I will be on the sidelines. Would you have an issue? It is Virginia.
Yes.
It's Virginia and Virginia Tech. There is the primary common color of orange. Would it be bad if I wore my full-blown orange hunting suit?
Yes, it would. We need you in full maroon. I don't want your interests conflicted whatsoever during the course of this game under the threat of termination
at any time.
But it's going
to be cold. Can I just it's a hunting suit. Like, there's a lot of Hokie fans that will wear hunting suits. And
camouflage suit. Let's go. Need you blending in with the leaves.
Camouflage? All right, I'll wear camouflage as long as I can be warm. That's my only demand on Friday
night. I don't
care
if you're warm. No orange, though.
All right, we'll see you Friday night. John Lazor, happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
No, we'll see you Thursday. We've got big plans for my wardrobe for this.
John, yes, the Lazor Blessington family sharing Thanksgiving with the McElroy family. Not only the McElroy family, but my in-laws. So this should be more entertaining than Friday night. I can't wait, buddy. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, my man.
John Lazor. Yes. Paul, you got a place to go for Thanksgiving? You're going home tonight, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
We're big on the straggler Thanksgiving. Come on in. Anybody out there? Anyone? Anybody need a place for Thanksgiving?
Anyone? Anyone?
Yeah, just come to my in-laws. We're good. Just my wife is trying to think about this. My mother-in-law's side of the family, 92 people in the immediate family. Oh yeah, it's crazy.
all of them go to the same place for Thanksgiving and holidays?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Paulie, I'm just saying, married 5 years, still learning all their names.